All right, thank you very much. At this time, we'll take questions, and since I don't see any questions in the queue right now, I'm going to take I'm going to exercise moderator's privilege here and ask the first question, see if we have some questions start to queue up. And my first question, it's not really a question, it's more of a asking Dr. Johan Liang to restate something that she briefly touched on in her presentation. And I think that there, just anecdotally, there is some confusion among providers and in the lay public about legally, you know, how does a table injury and a table injury claim differ as far as adjudication between an off-table injury claim? And Dr. Johan Liang, if you could just briefly address that issue.
Sure. So if a claimant brings in a claim that states that I got this vaccine and I have this injury, and upon review, if that is a table-listed injury under that vaccine and the onset of the illness occurred within the time interval that's identified in the table, then without going through all the legal, you know, going to court and all that, they get presumption of causation and we concede the case and they get compensated. If a claim comes in where it's not listed in the table, they can still receive compensation, but they really have to prove by the legal preponderance of evidence standard that there is causation in fact, that injury actually was related to vaccine. So it's sort of not an automatic concession, but they'll have to do the preponderance of evidence standard.
Thank you very much. One question that has come in is for Beth Hibbs. The question is, why were hospitals and public health clinics combined in the inappropriate site study, which is slide 22? And I will see if I can pull up slide 22 to show you that. Okay.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for that question. And we combined that just we have a breakdown, and I don't have it right in front of me, but we just combined that. We were interested in looking at the retail settings and then the MD offices and employee health, and we could have broken that out, and I'm sorry I don't have the specific breakout for you right now. But I guess it was we were just trying to combine the make some kind of grouping. For that category, but thank you for that question.
All right, thank you, Beth. We need to take just a little bit of time here to scroll and find the questions here.
Tom, while you're looking,
I'm sorry, I was, go ahead, I was actually talking, but I was on mute there, but go ahead, Dr. Johan Liang.
Okay, so there was a question about syncope and long-term sequelae, so I just wanted to clarify that, yes, it is being proposed to be added to the table, because even though, you know, there's fainting and usually people are okay, which is good, we have had claims and we have seen cases where the fainting episode resulted in concussion, resulted in dental injuries, you know, et cetera, so that there is enough of a serious sequelae, and that's why we're proposing to add that to the table.
Would that be a
We're going to take a question on HPV4, and it's really, please discuss the depth a little bit further for HPV4, because this is a of concern, I would assume, from providers and from public. And the person answering that will be Dr. Teresa Harrington.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity to give some clarification to this. We have been reviewing in depth HPV4 reports to VAERS, and as of the date that this presentation was finalized, which was September 15th, 2011, there were 70 reports to VAERS that were associated with HPV vaccine was given first and then the person died somewhere after. At some point, it could have been a long time afterwards or within days of that of receiving HPV4 vaccine. So of those total reports of death, when we say that we have verified 34, it doesn't mean that we verified that they've been associated with HPV4 or caused by HPV4 vaccine. All we can say is that we have verified that the person received HPV4 vaccine and possibly other vaccines and that a death occurred at some point. Now, when we actually go to, and then the other ones of unconfirmed, when we actually list those of unconfirmed, there were 34 verified, just again, the person has died, and then on the of the unconfirmed, there's 36. And of those 36, 32 are hearsay. And examples of these hearsay reports are, I read in such and such magazine that there were 71 deaths or 70 deaths reported to VAERS. That then gets put back into the pile of VAERS deaths. Somebody else might have gone to the VAERS Wonder Tool and looked at HPV deaths because maybe something was listed, maybe girls talking at high school or something like that. And they said, well, you can go to VAERS Wonder, which is a tool that people have access to. You can actually do a search for vaccines and adverse events. And so if they go to the VAERS Wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, tool online that any of you have access to, if they read about it and say, well, I've seen on the VAERS Wonder tool that there are 70 deaths, And then they submit a report back to VAERS saying, I see that there are 70 deaths. Then we get another report of deaths, so it becomes 71 deaths. But then there's no way that we can confirm it. But what we have been able to do is confirm 34 reports of death. And because it's mostly females that have died, the vast majority have been in females. And I will just tell you that many of these people had underlying conditions such as a congenital cardiac lesion, seizure disorder, and whatever. Some people have died from infections, influenza infections, but again, because the person has at some point in time received an HPV vaccine and possibly other vaccines, these are still listed as a death and HPV in the vaccine adverse event reporting system. I hope this has provided some clarification.
Thank you, Dr. Harrington. I think we only have about 30 seconds left, so we're going to have to close the session out. But I want to thank our presenters, Ms. Beth Hibbs, Dr. Rosemary Johann Liang, and Ms. Julianne G for three great presentations. And I want to thank the organizers of the conference as well. Have a good afternoon. This concludes Session 8.